Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today we're going to pick up on our series again of building our lives according to God's pattern. You know, God is very clear in Scripture that there's a right way and a wrong way to build our lives. And throughout the Bible, we see these patterns in His Word that very clearly outline the way we should think, the way we should behave, and also the way we need to live. And if we stick to God's pattern and build exactly according to it without adding or subtracting anything, then we'll live, as the Bible says, as the head and not the tail, and our lives will keep moving forward in the direction that God has intended. Church, remember this, that our lives will always reflect the pattern we build according to. Our lives will always reflect the pattern we build according to. And if you want a different outcome for your life, well, then you have to build according to a different pattern. And fortunately for us, God has given us His pattern for every area of life in the Bible. And if we follow it without deviating, we will see ongoing success and breakthrough. In Joshua 1, verse 7, God spoke to Joshua and said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left." Then, in other words, if we build according to God's pattern without deviating, then you will be successful in everything you do. We also see that when King David was preparing his son Solomon to build the temple, David gave him very clear instructions as how to go about it. 1 Chronicles 22:11, he says, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success." Notice that word, success, as you follow His directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. So God brings success into our lives when we follow His directions and we stick to His pattern for building our lives. You know, many people wrongly believe that success is a matter of luck or being in the right place at the right time, or that success is determined by where you live or where you were born or the color of your skin or even the opportunities that others give you in life. But those are not the things that determine whether or not our lives are successful. Success is determined by one simple thing, and that is following God's pattern. And so today I want to do part 4 in our series on God's pattern for success. God's pattern for success. You know, if you want a successful marriage, then you have to follow God's pattern in the Bible for marriage. If you want a successful business, you have to follow the pattern in Scripture. If you want success in your finances, well, you have to follow God's pattern. If you want success with your kids, you have to follow God's pattern for how He says we should raise our children. In fact, for every area of life, God has already given us a pattern in Scripture to follow. And the reason, however, that so many people are not successful is not because there's anything wrong with God's pattern, but because they've chosen a different pattern for success, only to realize somewhere down the line that it simply doesn't work. There was a man by the name of William Branham. He was a significant American preacher after World War II. And he said that to be successful is to stay lined with God's promises. No matter how it seems best to go this way or that way, stay lined with the Scripture. You know, some people scoff at God's pattern because it seems so simple. But I've learned that when we do the simple things that God asks of us, we will be successful. You know, other people just don't like to be told what to do, and so they ignore God's pattern and insist on following their own way, and of course end up ruining their lives in the process. And then unfortunately, there are also many Christians who are also of the belief that as believers, we shouldn't strive to be successful. You know, I think the word success often has negative connotations in a church context, and people have been told that success is worldly, and that as Christians, well, you know, we should just humble ourselves and, and be content with just getting by. And yet the Bible is very clear that when we follow God's pattern and we live our lives according to His Word, well, then we will be successful. Now, many of you would know that Pastor Andre has written a number of books on this topic. And in his book called 12 Things That Undermine Our Success, he says the following: it is God's will that every Christian achieve success, and He has given us everything that we need to make success possible. In the book, he also goes on to ask a very, very important question, and it's this: do you honestly believe that God wants you to succeed? I wonder whether you believe that today. He goes on to say, based on the type of thinking that is so pervasive today, you may secretly believe that God does not want you to succeed. Some have failed and now discourage others from success. Don't let anyone keep you from your God-given opportunity for success in life. Don't allow anyone to tell you that God is only interested in faithfulness, not success. And then he says something very important here. He says, if you are faithful, success is inevitable. You see, God always looks for faithfulness, but the byproduct of faithfulness is success. So clearly, God asks us to be faithful, but faithfulness leads to success. And when you think about it, and you can write this down, faithfulness is simply following God's pattern. That's what faithfulness is, simply following God's pattern. You know, I think the problem comes in when we start to measure success the wrong way, because what God calls successful is different to what the world says is successful. You know, the world's pattern says that the more you have, the more successful you are. But God's pattern says that the more you do for others and the more you live for His glory, the more successful you are. And the world's pattern measures success by who's the most talented and gifted. I don't know if you've noticed how we applaud people who are famous because of their looks or their talent, but we never give any thought to their character or to their values. And so the world measures success by who's the most talented, but God's pattern measures success by whether our heart is aligned with His heart. The world's pattern says that, you know, if you get to the top of the ladder first, then you're successful. But God's pattern says that whoever lays down their life to serve other people is successful. And the world's pattern says that success is about accumulating as much as you can in life. In other words, the one who dies with the most toys wins. But God's pattern says that success is about storing up treasure in heaven by giving to God our time, our talent, and our treasure. It's very different to worldly success. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus actually addressed this, and the scripture says, then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed." Life or success, those words are interchangeable here. Life or success is not measured by how much you own. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. You see, God measures success not by how much we have or accumulate, but by how much we touch the lives of others and by how much glory we bring to Him. So today I want to look at what the Bible says about success. And then next week, we're going to look at the life of someone in the Bible who became very successful because of the pattern that they followed. But it's very important that we first understand how God views success and then make sure we actually believe for it in our own lives. So let's look at some keys from Scripture regarding success. Firstly is this: success comes when we align our will with God's will. One of the great examples we see of this in the Bible is in the life of Jonah. Jonah was called by God, he was anointed, and yet Jonah's life almost ended in disaster because he was insistent on doing his own thing rather than aligning his will to God's will. You see, like many of us, Jonah wanted to follow his own pattern rather than submitting to God's pattern. Now, God had given Jonah clear instructions that would bring him success and would save the great city of Nineveh from destruction. But the Bible tells us in Jonah 1 verse 3 that Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Many of you know the story that Jonah ends up getting on a ship. He's thrown overboard and is then swallowed by a whale. And while inside the whale, he has a change of heart and chooses to align his will with God's will. And not surprisingly, Jonah has huge success. Jonah 3 verse 3 says that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. You see, an entire city was saved because Jonah finally aligned his will with God's will. I wonder today how many of you are perhaps trying to build your life in the opposite direction to what God has called you to. You know, life is full of Jonahs, people who are building according to their own pattern rather than God's pattern. And because of that, you live frustrated and worried and discouraged, and you're always complaining because you're not seeing the success that you'd hoped for. But like with Jonah, success can only come when we align our will with God's will and when we build according to His pattern. The well-known preacher and author Francis Chan rightly says that God will ensure my success in accordance with His plan, not mine. In 2 Chronicles 26, 5, we read of a king called Uzziah, and it says that Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, guess what? God gave him success. Then we read of King Hezekiah in chapter 31, verse 21. It says, in all that he did, in the service of the temple of God and in his efforts to follow God's laws and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. And guess what? As a result, he was very successful. I don't know if you see the pattern here. Clearly, success comes when we align our will with God's will. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Success is the natural result of building according to God's pattern. It's the natural result of building according to God's pattern. You know, sometimes we believe that success is only possible if our outward circumstances are all good. In other words, if everything's going right around me, well, then maybe God can give me success. But we see from the life of Joseph in Scripture that God can bring success even when your circumstances are not great. Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery. You would know that there was nothing good externally about his life. He was living in a foreign country. He was alone. He'd been unfairly treated. But because Joseph continued to build his life according to God's pattern, well, the Lord still made him very successful. And Genesis 39:3 says that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So your success and my success today has less to do with our current circumstances and what others have said about us or done to us. Success is determined by whether or not you align your will with God's will. In Proverbs 16 verse 3, the Amplified Bible says, commit your works to the Lord, submit and trust them to Him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to His will and guidance. Secondly is this, that we should pray for success, believe for it, and then expect it. Pray for it, believe for it, then expect it. You know, like many of you, this is something that I've had to learn and grow in. I came from a small town where people very often didn't aspire to much, and those who were successful were frowned upon almost as if, well, They must have done something wrong or illegal to be successful. But as we follow God's pattern in Scripture, we realize that success is something we can pray for, believe for, and expect, because success is something God delights in giving to those who trust Him. Psalm 90 is a very well-known psalm. It's a wonderful psalm of Moses, who was a great man, and he was incredibly successful. In fact, when you think about it, Moses was probably the most successful person in the Old Testament. With God's help, he rescued Israel from under the nose of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, who at the time, remember, were the most powerful nation on earth. That's huge success, but it didn't come by chance. And we read the end of Psalm 90, and Moses writes and says, "And may the Lord our God show us His approval and make our efforts successful." Yes, make our efforts successful. I love that. Moses prayed for success. He believed for success and then saw God respond by giving him success. You know, David was another man who was very successful in Psalm 118, which most Bible scholars attribute to him. He writes the following: "Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success." Isn't that interesting? He prays to be saved and then he prays for success. And I think as Christians, we're good at praying for salvation and asking God to forgive us and make us new. But sometimes we stop short in asking the Lord for success too. You know, we have no problem believing that God can save us, but we're not so sure whether He wants to give us success as well. In fact, many Christians often feel guilty asking God for success. But David prayed for both. He prayed for salvation and for success. And how did God respond to David? Well, He didn't say, "Ooh, no, no, David, you shouldn't be asking for success. Salvation, yeah, okay, I'm in that line of business, but success, ooh, that's very worldly, you know. You can't expect me to answer that kind of prayer." No, God gave David great success because David's will was aligned with God's will and he was bold enough to ask for success and then believe for it. Nehemiah is another great example in the Bible. He was serving a foreign king in exile, but had a desire to be used by God to serve His people, and he also prayed for success. In chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you." In other words, those who are committed to following your pattern. He says, "Please grant me success today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, today, by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me." God responded favorably to Nehemiah. He went from being a lowly cupbearer to becoming the governor of Judah. And had he not have prayed and believed for success, he would have stayed stuck where he was, and many of his own people would have died at the hands of their enemies. You see, church, and you can write this down, success is part of God's plan for every believer. But we must begin to pray for it and begin to believe for it in our own lives. You know, if you're a married couple, then pray for success in your marriage. Don't just believe to get by, you know, till death us do part. No, believe for a successful marriage that keeps growing stronger right into old age. Believe for ongoing romance and intimacy and fun, and for the means to do the things you've always wanted to do together. You know, one of the things I've started praying regularly for is success for my kids. You know, in fact, whenever they play sport or write exams, I pray for success. I don't want them to just get by. I want my kids to excel and be the best they can. And as parents, I know in your heart that you want the very same for your children. But if we don't believe in success, then we won't pray for success. And it's unlikely we'll see it. Here's another truth. You cannot succeed in something you don't believe in. You know, you'll never own your own home if you don't believe you should. You'll never go on a great family holiday if you don't believe that it's right to do that. You'll never grow a great business if you don't believe God wants you to be successful. And you'll also never aspire to more in life if you believe God is against you moving forward. But if you faithfully stick to God's pattern, then you can pray for success, believe for success, and expect to see it in your life. A successful businessman and author by the name of Grant Cardone says that anyone who minimizes the importance of success to your future has given up on his or her own chances of accomplishment and is spending his or her life trying to convince others to do the same. Thirdly is this, is that God measures success by what we do with what he's given to us. I think one of the biggest traps that we can fall into is to believe that money is the measure of success. In fact, most people would assume that because someone has lots of money, that means they're successful, but money and success are not the same thing. Now, you may well have money if you are successful, but that's not the measure of godly success. In an article in the Christianity Today magazine, writer Fred Smith says this. He says, "For Christians, success can never be measured by money. When people say to me, 'That man's worth $10 million,' that tells me he's wealthy, but it doesn't prove he's successful. In some cases, it could mean the opposite." Now, you may have seen in the news this past week that Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced. After 27 years of marriage, they've decided to call it quits. Now, they're some of the world's wealthiest people. In fact, Bill Gates is worth over $130 billion. But all that money didn't produce a successful marriage. You see, you can have all the money in the world and still not be successful. God measures success very differently, church. He measures it by how well we use what he's entrusted to us. And so the good news for all of us is that when we stand before God one day, he's not going to compare us to anyone else to determine whether or not we were successful. You know, if you're in business, God won't ask you whether you made more money than your competitors. He won't ask you whether you drove a nicer car than your neighbor. For you students out there, God won't ask whether you got better marks at school than your friends. God will only ask whether we used well what he gave to us. And each of us has received different abilities and talents from God, and we will be measured according to that. You know, many of you would know the story of the parable of the three servants in Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says that each were given something from the master who expected that they would be successful and show increase with what they'd been given. In fact, the story shows us that success was expected. It wasn't even an option. And the first servant was given 5 bags of silver, the second 2 bags of silver, and the third was given 1 bag. And the one with 5 bags, the Bible says, produced 5 more. The one with 2 bags produced 2 more. And the response of the master was the same to both. In verse 21, the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." It's important to note here, church, that both were praised for their success and were rewarded for it. Why? Because they used well what had been entrusted to them. But the servant who had the 1 bag of silver did nothing except to make excuses for why he couldn't be successful. And the Bible says that he was rebuked by the master and thrown into prison, and what he had was taken away and given to the others. You see, success is never about what we start with in life. It's about what we do with what God has given to us. And that means that anyone can be successful because we're not being compared to anyone else, only to what God has already given us. You know, as a church, we want to be successful, but we don't measure Rivers Church success against what other churches are doing. We measure it against what we believe God has called us to. You know, every time we open a new campus, we believe for success. You know, we don't pray, oh, please let this fail, Lord. Please let it not work out so that we can be humbled and just get by. No, we pray, Lord, please give us success. When we look for new land or property, we ask God to please give us success. When we build new buildings and start new initiatives through the Rivers Foundation, we believe for success. In fact, every weekend, we believe for success in church, for people to come through our doors, for many people to watch online and have their hearts changed and their lives impacted by what God has entrusted to us. But we do our best to make sure we don't compare, because that would give us a misguided view of success. See, when you compare your success to others, either you will think too highly of yourself or you will undermine what you've accomplished. Fourthly is this. I hope you're being encouraged today. Success should never distract us from the purposes of God. I think probably the biggest danger of success is that it can take us away from God. You see, when you follow God's pattern, you will see success. But once you've got success, well, then what? Do you use it to build your own empire? Or do you use it to bring glory to God and advance His kingdom? And sometimes there's a very fine line between the two. You know, there's a wonderful story in the Bible in Genesis 24 where Abraham sends his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. Clearly, there were no suitable women in the area where they lived. And so rather than compromising his faith and his values, Abraham gave instructions to the servant to go out and find a wife for Isaac. You see, Abraham had seen how God had blessed his life, and he wasn't afraid to ask for more success. In fact, he fully expected success. In Genesis 24, verse 7, Abraham says to his servant of God that he will send his angel ahead of you, and he, the Lord, will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. And then we see that the servant, whose name we don't even know, also prayed for success on his journey. In verse 12, he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham," he prayed, "please give me success today." And not surprisingly, God gave him success, and he finds Rebekah, who would become the wife of Isaac. But church, then we see something very, very important. Once the servant achieved his success, he was very mindful of not letting it distract him or delay him from doing what he needed to do. You know, he's almost enticed to rest in his success and to feast with Rebekah's family, but he knew how easily success can corrupt and turn us away from serving God. And in verse 56, he said, "Don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master." You know, I've seen many people in church who prayed for a job or a business opportunity or for success in the workplace only to get it, and they're no longer be in church anymore because their success caused them to now be too busy or too important or too distracted to be serving God. And the very success that God brought into your life to be a blessing has now become the thing that takes you away from God. Church, if you can make your pursuit of success about bringing glory to God and advancing His kingdom, God will give you continual success. Because if you can be trusted to use well what He gives you, He will give you even more. You know, God's pattern for success is not complicated. Align your will with His will. Pray for it, believe for it, then expect it. Be faithful with what God has entrusted to you, and don't allow your success to corrupt you and take your focus off the Lord. As we come to a close, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says this, "Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful." Can I encourage you to remember the Lord in your success? Because as we succeed, God's kingdom advances and His church continues to grow and enlarge. William Wilberforce was a, a British man who served God as a politician in the late 1700s and early 1800s. And many of you would know that he was most well known for campaigning against slavery in the British Empire. He prayed for success, believed for success, and ultimately saw success when Britain abolished slavery in 1833. You see, he aligned his will to God's will. He was faithful with what had been entrusted to him. And then he said this, "Ultimately, I trust the Almighty will crown our efforts with success." Church, the foundation of our success is our relationship with Jesus. When we have him, we have everything we need for life. But without Jesus, we have nothing. There's not a single thing that the world can offer us that compares to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, true success lies in knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you are no longer enslaved by the devil, that you have a hope and a future and a purpose for your life, and that one day you will enter into heaven to live with God for all eternity. And that can only come when we surrender our lives to Jesus. Church, Christ died for all our sins. He was raised to life so that we can have new life. And when we live according to His plan for our lives, we become all that God intended for us to be. The good news today is that forgiveness is available for every sinner who repents and acknowledges their desperate need of Jesus as Savior. I'd love to pray for you right now to make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross for my sins. Thank you that you paid the price in full. Today, I confess my sin before you. I repent of my past. I acknowledge my desperate need of Jesus as Savior. Today, I surrender my life to you in full. Thank you that there is forgiveness available on the other side of repentance. Thank you for the hope and the future that I have. Thank you that I have the promise of eternal life because Jesus has dealt with my sin. I give my life to you today and surrender in full. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.